Welcome to the Tripod, where we break down the NRL every game, every week from a punting perspective. I'm Jacob Wynn, he's the Podonis, and tonight we are going to preview round 19 off a sweep of round 18 on our best bets. We did go 4-0. Unfortunately, we lost the mixed matchup. The Roosters let in too many points. The Titans didn't score enough, even though both those teams did cover the spreads for our best bets. And let's just jump straight into it because we've got so much tonight to cover. We've got three best bets to share for round 19, and we always give you them at the very top. So that's going to begin with Roosters minus 9.5 at $1.90 on Sportsbet, and they are at the Knights. Podonis, why do we like them?
Yeah, I feel that heading into last week of that round 17 bye, it was going to be a line in the sand for the Roosters, and they were going to be the best version of themselves heading into this back half of the season. And I definitely felt we saw that against the Dragons, and especially in that second half, it was a turning point for them. They're still on the verge of the top eight, so they are on the outside looking in, and they're up against a Knights team, you'd say at this stage of the season, that has not much to play for, and all the talk about how good Manu's been, but I definitely feel that Kiri comes back at six, and he provides their best balance in their spine, and I know that people are probably sleeping on how important he actually is, but especially with his game management and experience, that can't be overvalued. I just think that sitting at under two converted tries at this stage, you can get a great line of 9.5. That's the way that I want to play it. I want to ride this uptick in performance the Roosters have. And that's the best bet that we feel.
As great as Manu's been at six, you don't lose too much bringing Kiri back in. And then you gain because you can shift Manu out to the centres, which they need because they copped some injuries last week. But they get cover. They get some reinforcements this week too. A couple of rep players in Collins and Warrior Hargraves come in to bolster the forward pack after they did lose a couple in a grueling or in a brutal encounter against the Dragons. Then we're going Rabbitohs, plus half a try at $1.80 in the try handicap on Bet365 and Dabble. You can copy that from at Jacob Wynn. So the Rabbitohs host the Storm for us. This is two teams going in opposite directions. You've got Rabbitohs have won three in a row, really surging on the back of the Latrell Mitchell's form, which is just insatiable, and they get back Damien Cook and Murray, who both got the rest after Origin and will be fresh and will bolster this team, while the Storm are obviously still missing Brandon Smith, suspended, their depleted and outside backs, but the gut punch of losing Pappenhausen, just knowing how much that hurts their premiership contention, it's going to be hard to pick up from, as well as what it takes away on the field. And for me, the biggest difference in this game is an obvious one, but how on earth does a Storm right side defence with Seve and Aramea stop that South's left side attack?
I had exactly the same points there, looking at that infamous left-hand edge up against Seve as well and Aramea. It's going to be a tough one for them. And as you touched on, coming off the back of Pappenhausen's loss, and Storm aren't the same side they were in past years. I think maybe people have been expecting them to bounce back given how good they've been the last 5 to 10 years, but it's not the same version of that Storm team. And I definitely see this as a 50-50 contest. So we're getting a great edge with the plus half a try.
And finally, we're going to take the Cowboys minus 9.5 points in the second half line, $1.80 on Unibet. They host the West Tigers. The Cowboys get back four Origin stars returning. They're on a longer turnaround than their opponent. They remain at home, no travel, while West have to go north. North Queensland's off a loss, but it's a very excusable one. The Tigers are off a loss that I think hurts them. They had a big chance to win that one. The Tigers are a little bit frisky, maybe better than some people think. It's Tarmow's 300th against the club he did win a premiership with. I could kind of see West come out swinging, but I'd be surprised by anything other than the Cowboys running through them by the end, hence the second half line. But honest.
Yeah, 100% agree with that. And did I hear you correctly? Are we taking the Cowboys this week?
That's right. So we went against them last week and we were actually correct in doing that too.
Very good. So yeah, second half line with a team that has been historical in the second halves, after halftime, especially their defensive record. And if they get some momentum and start to control this game, then they could definitely steamroll the Tigers, who let's hopefully take advantage of Kamali's stubbornness and sticking with the same spine that we've got some question marks on.
Now, we've also got a mixed matchup. I've got an extra Dabble Rocket bet to share, but let's set the table with how the markets are shaping up. Some insights from Tristan from Pop Sport.
G'day Tripod family, it's Tristan here from Top Sport. We're back and we've got a more normal round this weekend where all the regulars are meant to be back and obviously no Origin interruption this weekend. So there's been a little bit of early money for a couple of these games, primarily the Roosters game. That's been 8.5 out to 11.5. So we'll monitor all of those moves over the coming days. But just looking at the futures betting, because we've seen obviously Penrith line out well in front of the rest of the field. They're $1.95. We actually just threw up a market where we've got Panthers versus the field, where it's 195 Penrith, 185 the field. So if you obviously think Penrith can get the chocolates, then they're available there at 195. And if you think, you know, maybe an injury occurs or they get a little bit nervous like in Origin, then you can take the $1.85 as well. So that's up there on site now under the NRL futures options. The top eight is starting to get a little bit more locked in with a number of the sides there, but we've still got Manly, Roosters, Canberra, and maybe the Dragons fighting out for those last spots. You know, from our perspective, the big stand we had at the start of the season, which I was pretty comfortable at the start of the year, was the Broncos to make the eight. They're obviously into $1.02 now. So I was holding out some sort of hope before the Dragons game that with all their injuries, if they drop that game and my Titans happen to cause an upset, then maybe they'd be a little bit vulnerable, but too good. They jagged those wins, and now they've got their full team back on deck. So they certainly look like they'll be making it. South Sydney were the other side we were standing significantly as well. I was quite keen to oppose them early in the year, and I thought we were in a pretty good spot after they dropped a number of those games early. But since Latrell's come back, they just look a completely different side. They have got a pretty hard draw, so maybe that $1.20 where they're sitting now is probably a bit short. But by the same token, you probably feel they should be making it. So just also looking at the premiership betting and to make the grand final, our worst results for the grand final by some margin at the moment are actually the Eels at $11. So we laid them significantly. We laid the Storm at the start of the year at $4.80. They're out to $7 now. So at the moment for us, we're in an okay position with the Panthers, but I'm sure that'll change as we get a bit closer to the grand final. When you just find in these sort of markets now that a team is quite short, you don't lay the shorties until you get a little bit closer, because it's hard to see Penrith getting too much shorter than the $1.95 that they're sitting at the moment until we probably get down to that last six, I guess. So, all right, punters, well, good luck over the weekend with whatever you're doing, and as always, gamble responsibly.
Thank you, Tristan. Thanks for pricing that up. I asked him to put up that yes or no, Panthers or the field. I think it's fascinating. We've got a team that's 50-50 to win the comp. We're not even at round 20 yet. We'll discuss our thoughts on which side of that you'd play and why when we get to the Panthers game. They play a marquee match this week against the Sharks. Tristan mentioned Broncos into $1.02 to make the eight. Podonis, you shared that at a much juicier odds in the season preview, which was a great call. I'm going to put you on the spot right now. Let's assume Penrith will at least make the grand final. They are length of the field ahead of everybody else right now. Who are they playing? You can pick anybody else. Don't worry about odds, but just who is your gut feel? Who does Penrith play in first weekend of October?
Gut feel is Cowboys.
Cowboys. Well, we are on them this week. You know what? I'll go a slightly longer shot. I'll say Parramatta, who host the Broncos on Thursday night, and the Broncos are +3.5. This is fifth versus sixth, but in fact, they're both equal on wins with Melbourne in the, but you know, essentially top four, splitting that three ways, and they play at CommBank. And Parramatta also gets back Ryan Madison finally from the rib injury, while Brisbane gets some troops. Oates, Capewell, Carrigan and Haas, Origin stars are back. They lose Billy Walters, but Turpin will start and Pakes is back from injury on the bench. But honest, how do you see this one?
Yeah, so the Eels have failed to cover the spread for the last 3 weeks, and they've conceded some late tries and probably burnt a lot of punters out there. So there's a feeling across the marketplace that maybe Parramatta aren't as good as what they actually are. Whereas I don't agree with that. I still feel that the Eels are a dominant team and they are a force to be reckoned with in this premiership. So from that point of view, it's hard to find any value betting against the Eels because many other people are happy to steer away from them. But then the Broncos are also entering this game with tremendous confidence, having just won the past two without their five best starters. Now they get all those Origin guys returning. So the boost will be massive for that side just in terms of mentality and the psyche for the team. And it is a big game for both, locked on 24 points. And I'll probably feel that the line's fair with both teams rated about even. Some might have the Eels slightly better. In that case, I would lay the -2.5 if you feel the Eels were the better team. But I do feel that these two teams are even on paper. And when you add home field, then the line's pretty much fair. And I also would agree that maybe Brisbane have a bit more upside heading into the back half of the season, that they probably have more improvement in them. Whereas the Eels, we've seen their best version against some of these heavyweight teams. So for me, there's enough reasons to stay off the game and enjoy what should be a semi-final type atmosphere.
Yeah, absolutely. Because they both legitimately believe they should make the top four and have every right to feel that way. And it's getting to the point where you look at the ladder, it'd be tricky to imagine that Parramatta and Brisbane could make the four. So you feel like ultimately this game could be decisive for one or the other getting in there. And I agree there's very little between the sides. I have to side with Parramatta, and I usually go back to that spine that I think edges them ahead. And in saying that, Brisbane, there's reasons why you might like them and back them this week. I think when you get key players back in on the back of winning a game, and those key players are fresh as well because they were rested, as well as Brisbane does have the stronger bench, I think, at this point, then you go back the other direction, Parramatta's at home. So, like, if it's pick 'em, if I just got to tell you who wins, I think Parramatta's going to get this one. If the Lions plus six, I'm liking Brisbane. It's right in between those two. So, therefore, we'll move to Friday. Dragons place the Seagulls. And Manly are minus 4.5. Moses Sully is out for St. George. Mbai will start at centre. Sullivan takes Mbai's spot on the bench. Sims back from suspension, also on the bench. Jake Trbojevic has COVID, but there's no other changes for Manly. Sipley will come into the starting lineup, and Paseka promoted to the bench. I'm going to go on a little tangent here, Padonis, before I throw to you.
Yep.
So I heard that St. George, at this point in the season, after playing 17 games, have conceded more points than they ever have in their history, right? And I don't think they're going to make the finals. Yeah, they're still in the hunt, but there's just too many stronger sides above them, in my opinion. So having said that, could they win this week? I'm not writing them off. They're at home, and Manly's not that far away from them. Like, maybe they win this one, but ultimately, tell me if you disagree, but I just don't think they're going to make the finals. Now, we got a World Cup at the end of the year. 2 months ago, nobody would have predicted that the Kangaroos number 9 could probably be Ben Hunt. And the way it's shaping up, I would suggest on the back of Origin that Harry Grant might get the 14 jersey. And if you press me on who the best hooker in the competition is, I'm probably leaning to Harry Grant. But I think based on performances at the highest level, which is Origin football, that jersey is going to go to Ben Hunt. And there's an argument that he could be the best dummy half in the game right now. So would it not make sense to play Hunt at 9 for the rest of the year for the Dragons? I don't think you suffer by moving him in there, knowing his capability, what he brings to that position, freeing up a spot in the halves. Sullivan partners Amone. Now you have 7 weeks. You can be excited if you're a St. George fan. You've got the Kangaroos number 9, potentially, with Sullivan, Amone, and Sloan in your spine. You miss the 8. It's not that bad because nobody thought the Dragons were making the 8 this year. You win a couple of games along the way. You have a couple of good performances in there, and you've got something that you can build on. These guys get the benefit of that. They develop, and you've got that platform. I know we've got quite a lot of St. George fans who follow along, so I'd love to hear what they think. Because to me, that makes too much sense, doesn't it, Padonis?
Makes too much sense. But for me, I feel that if they're a club paying Ben Hunt, whatever it is, $1.2 million as your marquee star man, I don't feel like you're getting much value playing him in hooker, even though we know that's his best position. And if you're playing two young halves at 7 and 6, what are you building for? Because Ben Hunt's still your long-term halfback, unless they've got perceptions of him moving to the hooker long-term. So I'm not sure that the Dragons see him as anything other than a halfback at this point in his career, even though his best performances have been at hooker at representative land. So yes, could they get a couple wins along the way? And if they were moving him long-term beyond next year, then I would agree with that move. But I just don't think the Dragons see him anything else than a halfback.
I'm not actually sure how many years he's got left in his contract, or if he would be someone that a Dolphins would, be looking at if he eventually wanted to move his family back to Queensland. I'd love to hear what other people think about that. Now, why don't you tell us what you make of this matchup, Manly St. George?
Yeah, so you touched on it that they can win this game. But for me, with Dragons sitting on 18 points, I agree that they can't make the finals, or they can mathematically, but I don't think that they will. So a loss here pretty much rules them out. It's almost must-win territory for the Dragons, because then that would take them 4 points behind Manly, who are in 8th spot. And they do get Tarek Sims back, which will help. But for those guys out there listening, if you do like the Dragons, then you have to have the confidence that they're going to rebound from last week and put in a big effort. But I have some major question marks and concerns about that, given the manner of that second half collapse and how substantial that loss was. And when you include that with rumours this week that Griffin's on the outer and his future's in question, then I just wonder how committed the side will be. And maybe last week was the nail in their season. And Manly are playing some great football of their own, and they're building nicely. And they look to have found their best combination without Turbo. And look, Coolers found a home on that right center. He looks like a nice prospect for them. I think I could only look towards Manly, but I think we're paying a premium a bit because this line, I feel, should be closer to two. And it is in some places with the news that Turbo's out with COVID. So again, we've got that same risk that if you take Manly now, there might be some more players that get ruled out. So it's a hard one to have the confidence in at the current number. So for me, with all those factors considered, it's a pass at this stage.
I also would lean to Manly because I know what they are and they've adapted to life after Turbo. And I also heard news this week that he is not 100% ruled out for the season. Can you imagine if Manly gets in the top eight and then Tom Trbojevic comes back? What a boost of excitement that would be to that squad and how that could actually help carry them towards the finals, even if it's just a possibility. Now, the Dragons have been an utter mess the last 2 weeks, especially defensively. I do get the sense that they will rebound being at home, and I would be disappointed in the Dragons if they're not close. But in saying that, I could still only lean to Manly, despite the fact Trbojevic is out. I think they can cover him reasonably well with their forward depth. So then the later game Friday night is Knights hosting the Roosters, where our best bet is -9.5 on the Roosters, but it's mostly -10.5 across the board. Dom Young may be out. He's in the reserves, and he's been enormous for Newcastle. Frizzell and Lee are also carrying injuries but are named. Kurt Mann returns from injury, which will boost their bench. For the Roosters, we mentioned, Keary back in six shifts, Manu to the centres. Warrior Hargraves is going to start at prop, as is Matt Lodge, first start for the club because they lost TKO last week to a fractured cheekbone in addition to Tupanua and Billy Smith for the season. And Podonis, the Knights did win this match the first time around, which was all the way back in round one. But I think we've addressed that that was kind of like the Roosters' preseason game. But as we stand now talking about who's going to make the four and make the eight, the Roosters can't muck around anymore. What are they currently sitting at, 10th?
Yeah, they are. And they're still on the outside looking in themselves as well. And I think for the Knights, we can all agree their season's done and dusted. But the Roosters, at the start of this season, they would have had aspirations of making the top four and beyond, given how well they played last year with all those injuries, which has been well documented and publicised about now. So I don't think the Roosters can be any complacent, even though they had such a dominant win last week and the Knights had such a poor loss. So normally those two contrasting performances indicate that there might not be value on the line the week after, betting on the public side. But this is a stage of the season where we normally get to see these inflated lines when you've got one team with more motivation than the other. And I don't think we get this at this stage yet. Well, I think this line should be above 12.5. So I love the fact that we're getting 3 points of value under that key number of 10, given some of the struggles that the Roosters do have at goal kicking. We've touched on the importance of Keary, and Manu and Tedesco couldn't probably be playing better individually as two guys. And with the exception of Ponga, no one else in the Knights really scares me. And you touched on the fact that they've conceded a few injuries. Last week, they got a few guys banged up in Frizzell, Young and Lee. And Bradman Best is still out as well. So if there's points in this game, I can only see it coming from one team. And I feel that given the game breakers the Roosters have, in any 20-minute period, they can probably clear this line themselves. So I love the fact that, as we touched on, we get under 10, and it's a good spot for the Roosters, I feel.
Yeah, I look at this Roosters lineup and I see points in them. Then I look at the Knights team and I'm not sure how they will keep up. If the Knights can keep up, I'd argue their forward pack can probably get in a good arm wrestle with the Chooks here and create an ugly, tight game, which is what Newcastle will want and what would be in their favour to keep it close. But we've watched this Knights side enough this year to know that how often do they remain focused and on task for 80 minutes? They just inevitably lapse or have a period where they drop their heads when things go against them, and the class and key positions for the Roosters can make them pay in periods in this game, and that could be all the difference for the Roosters to win this by 10 or more points. On Saturday, the Raiders host the Warriors. Warriors are catching +10.5. After a brutal loss at St. George a couple of weeks ago, the Green Machine catapulted themselves back into finals contention with a hard-earned win in Melbourne, but they've got to consolidate that now and playing a struggling New Zealand. Both wingers from the win last week are out, Rapana and Schiller. Schiller, of course, had the moment of brilliance that sealed that win, but Kotrick is back, as is their captain, Elliot Whitehead. The Warriors have named Reece Walsh on the bench, curiously, as good as Harris Tavita did the week Walsh was out, with Tenny Zalesniak back on the wing, and Arzee in the halves preferred over Volkman. Which way do you lean?
Yeah, so for me, this is a similar game to the Roosters one, with the Raiders in that logjam for the top eight, had a big win, have to sort of build on that and can't become complacent themselves. And they're up against a team with not much to play for. And they do get a big player back in Whitehead, which will stiffen up their middle. And I think that Nick Cotchery coming back does make up for the loss of Rapana. And I just feel that Canberra at this stage of the season are the side that I want to bet on over the Warriors. I know what I'm going to get from them. And when you're taking a team like the Warriors with not much to play for, you have to look at what factors are there for them to put in a big performance. And when I think to the fact that they did drop Reece Walsh, who's their most dynamic attacking player, is that because he signed with the Broncos for next year and he's not part of their plans? And if that's the case, then why would you play Harris Tavita, who's not going to be there either next year? So it's not like they're looking towards next year, because he's already announced he's going to take a break from the game. So that one to me is a bit puzzling. And they do have a short turnaround next week against the Melbourne Storm, which is back at home. And we know how little they've played there. So I think they're going to be looking towards that as a big game for them. So they could be in a bit of a look ahead. And I think Canberra are going to be able to control this game from start to finish.
That's fair enough. And I think that's why I like the Roosters bet, say, more than the Raiders bet, because I do think the Roosters right now are still stronger than the Raiders. I know Canberra beat them a few weeks ago. I also think the Warriors are more threatening than the Knights. Now, keep in mind, Roosters are on the road, Raiders are at home. But for me, that's what just kept me off the Warriors. You don't know what you're going to get. And I think you make some good points there about, you know, will their minds be fully on the job? And their attack has struggled all season, and they've been quite reliant on Reece Walsh, which is all the more puzzling why he can't get a start here. You talk about, is that, you know, contract related? And then they always rely on Johnson, but he just hasn't been at his best this season. But I look at the Warriors forward pack, and I'm seeing Fanua Blake back, and they can always play off the back of the momentum he generates and offloads, and even a little bit of ball playing in him, along with Harris, Aitken, Curran, Tavanga. They're all handfuls. And so this New Zealand side's a bit of an X factor, and the fact that they have relocated to New Zealand in some ways potentially means they don't have nothing to play for, because they want to keep up working hard and improving just to build towards some good home performances and to make the rest of this season a positive experience. But of course, I would expect the Raiders should win this one, because they're at home, they're more focused, they're in finals contention, their captain is back, and they got off a confidence-boosting win. I also think Fogarty, since he's returned, you know, obviously his inclusion to this team was delayed by that preseason knee injury, but he's really added to the side since he's been there, and the combinations are getting better every week. And the other thing is the Raiders' defense. That goes a long way towards winning them games, or at least giving them a shot to win every week. So expecting Raiders to win this game, I just didn't feel as confident, you know, kind of laying that double-digit lumber against an unpredictable New Zealand. Saturday night, Panthers host the Sharks, and the Sharkies getting plus 12.5. You can say it's the game of the round. It's first versus third, but there's a chance it might not be close. Penrith get 7 Origin stars back there at full strength. The Sharks lost Katoa for the season. Tracy will move to the wing. Talakai to centre, and Nakora is also back. And why don't we actually start by talking about the premiership odds too? Because right now, as we said at the start of the show, they're under $2 to win the comp with most bookies. They're miles ahead on the ladder. They've had premium health, while every other challenger has been dropping games or players or both. But that $2 odds put on us, I don't know how you feel about that or who you would play. Would you rather have Penrith at $2 or the field? I know it's roughly $1.95, $1.85, so it's thereabouts. I'll go first and say that, like, first we've got to understand nobody is guaranteed to make the prelims. You're going to have to beat somebody to make the prelims. Of course, Penrith will be top four, so they'll get that double shot, so it's a near certainty. But then what it comes down to for me is you're still going to have to beat 2 form teams on the day in the prelim and in the grand final to win the competition. And we saw, like, upsets happen in the finals. Penrith lost in round one of the finals last year and then went on to win the comp. And in that case, they had to win, you know, 3 straight elimination games. But no matter what happens, you've got to win 2. On paper, New South Wales should have beat Queensland in Origin 3. A fresh Melbourne should have beaten Penrith in the prelim last year. But very early in that game, Brandon Smith, Christian Welsh went off early. It got close. You know the rest. So certainly that's not me saying that Penrith can't win it, but I would actually go the field because there's still a lot of football to be played between now and October, and injuries are just part of it. And anything can, it only takes one bad day or just another side to have one really good day. That's why it is so unusual for a team to be such short odds. How do you read that market?
Yeah, so as everyone knows, just before Origin 2, I gave out a multi with the Blues to win the series into Penrith to win the comp. At that stage, we're getting $2.50 for the Panthers to win the comp because I felt that was value at that point in time. And then fast forward 3 weeks and not much has changed for me. So I was a bit surprised to see this this market come down all the way 50 cents. I know that Melbourne struggled, but that shouldn't have moved the premiership odds for Penrith as much as what it has. I think that people have probably lost the confidence and faith in a lot of the other teams because, as you touched on, some of them have dropped games. You look at the Eels, for example. The Cowboys have probably been the most consistent challenger. And when you look at their odds itself as, in terms of whether that number's value, so they're $1.20 today against the Sharks this weekend at home. So if they're $1.20 in all three of their games, round one of the finals, the prelim and the grand final, then that's about $1.80. So that's a full strength Penrith team. So if they do concede an injury or two, then that $1.90 will be, it should be over $2. So in that case, it's not value. So I would agree with you at this point in time, given the odds and the information we know, I would be betting on the field.
And the biggest reason they have shortened is because Storm was a clear second favourite. And not only have they lost Pappenhausen, but they've lost three in a row. So their odds have massively lengthened. So basically all that probability of Storm has been kind of passed on to Penrith. And I think, yeah, if you're riding a ticket on Penrith to win the comp and you kind of got anything over $2, you're definitely very happy with where you sit. They are one of the most dominant sides I've ever seen. And coming to this game, it's going to be kind of the one of two narratives. Is we've got to figure out how to read them in this one. So on one hand, you're going to say that they're coming in with a point to prove because these players all coming in off the disappointment of losing that Origin series. And last time the Panthers players played after an Origin match that they lost, they came out and were ruthless against Newcastle. And the other thing is they're at full strength. So they could just put on an absolute show. The counter argument would be that Ivan said he wanted to give his players a mental and physical break and told them he didn't want to see them, I think, until Wednesday this week. So it will be a short preparation. And you can also say that there's a natural deflation among the players because it is mentally and physically taxing through Origin, and they were very disappointed to lose that game. Sorry, I can't help but keep referring to the Origin decider, but honest. You know, that's the case you're going to make if you like Cronulla and get those two converted tries. Cronulla's in great form, but I wouldn't do it. I can't go against Penrith. And I think that Cronulla might be slightly overrated at this point because they've just beaten the Cowboys and the Storm, but both those sides were well below their best for various reasons. And I also think Penrith always gets sky high for home games. Did you have any other kind of angles on this matchup?
Yeah, I agree on the camp of I would lean towards the Panthers. I know that when you see 1v3 on the ladder and this line looks large on paper, but I definitely feel it's justified. And I'd probably even suggest that maybe it should be a little bit higher, given that those seven returning Origin players are essentially half their team as a star team that's coming off a bye. So they're going to be fully rested, whereas the Sharks have had to play round 17 as well as last weekend. I know they get a longer turnaround, but it's always a difficult trip coming from Townsville back to Sydney, that return game. And I just know that at home, they're going to be fired up for it as well, given that the players are coming off a humbling defeat in the Origin Arena. And the way that I looked at this game, if it's a grinding back and forth style of game, then I would favour the Panthers even more, given their ability to suffocate the opposition teams. And I think that they have an edge in the forward pack. I guess for the Sharks to be competitive, you'd have to have the confidence that they can throw the ball around and create some plays and stretch the game. Because I think they're going to have to match the firepower of the Panthers to stay within this number. I'm not confident that they can do it, so I would lay the Panthers, but respect Fitzgibbon and the Sharks enough not to lay over two converted tries, given that the Panthers players haven't had the best preparation leading into this.
But having said that, with us leaning to the Panthers, I've actually got a cracking rocket bet to share. on Dabble for this game for a value way to get at the Panthers if you like this. It is Brian To'o and Jerome Luai to combine for 2+ tries at $3.60, which you can copy now from at Jacob Wynn. This is my first rocket bet of the season. And if you need a Dabble account, use the code TRIPOD and have a look at all the features that we've talked about all season. We've discussed that we like Penrith to kind of bounce back. I say bounce back. They only won by 2 last week, but we know why. And bounce back in style, they could very well this week. And if they do, it means that the Origin stars are switched on and all turn up for a massive one. And if that's the case, I don't need to explain what a threat To'o is to get a try or two. And I think in particular, I picked these players because I had to pick Origin players, I think, come in with a point to prove. You've got Luai, who has not only been painted as a villain for his antics in Origin 3, he was also in the headlines in the international heritage debate, as was To'o. And on top of that, Luai has been questioned over his performances, whether they were good enough in the series, whether he deserves that 6th jersey for the Blues. So I think he's going to come in with an absolute point to prove. And then, of course, the other side, the justification for this bet is the price. Now, if they each score, Luai and To'o, you're looking at about $7 odds for one each. But it's combined for 2+. Now, To'o, to get 2 on his own, is shorter than $7 alone. And then you even got the outside shot that Luai could get a Dabble. That might be a 1 in 20, but that's still a little tangible edge as well. So you can copy that if you like that bet, and if you like the Panthers on Saturday night. That's the twilight Saturday night game. Then after that, this could be the game of the season. Oh, sorry, the game of the round, actually, in terms of the contest, which is Rabbitohs playing the Storm, and Storm laying -2.5, but it has moved to 1.5 on some bookies as well. And just a month ago, as we've talked a bit about futures tonight, many people would have said a month ago the Rabbitohs are going to miss the 8 and the Storm are going to be playing the Panthers in the grand final. Now, there would be a fair few people who could make the argument the Rabbitohs have a higher ceiling than the Storm, and that the scintillating form of Latrell Mitchell has really reinvigorated this side, while, of course, Melbourne lost their fullback and their superstar, which, of course, lowers their ceiling. So it does set up for a massive Saturday night clash. Of course, remember, these sides met in round 2. That went to Golden Point. I already said before, Souths get back Murray and Cook. The Storm have named their team and shifting Meaney to fullback, Wishart to the wing. But when you've got a winger in Anderson named on the bench, you wouldn't be sure if that's really how they're going to line up. Before I actually ask any additional thoughts from you, Podonis, we got some tips for this round from the Axe. And I'm going to spoil that he likes 7 favourites and 1 underdog for an upset this week.
G'day, everyone. Here's the tips for round 9A from me. Should be a great weekend of footy. Eels, the Broncos kick off Thursday night. Both teams on 24 points, and I think they should be nearly at full strength, so it'll be a beauty. I'm going to go the Broncos. I think they're going okay. Dragons versus Seagulls. Seem to hit the wall a little bit, the Dragons. Ben Hunt's playing great footy, but the rest of the team's looking a bit average at the moment, so I'm going to go Manly in that one. Knights versus Roosters. I can't see the Knights beating the Roosters, but you never know. Anything can happen in this competition. Going the Roosters, though. Raiders versus the Warriors. A good win against the Storm last week, Canberra. Hopefully that can keep them still focused. Sometimes they have a bit of a flat spot or a downward spiral after a good win like that. So hopefully they're not. So I'm going the Raiders. Panthers versus Sharks. I've gone Penrith. Their depth is unbelievable, as I said earlier in the year. But the Sharkies, mate, they're playing good footy as well. This would be a really good game. So I'm going with Panthers. Rabbitohs versus Storm. No Papenhuyzen. That's a big loss, for the Storm. Latrell Mitchell is on fire for the Rabbitohs. He's come back from overseas. He looks fitter and really enjoying his footy. So, I'm going to go the Rabbitohs. Dogs versus the Titans. This is a toss-up, this one. The Dogs are playing pretty good footy. The Titans played good football against the Broncos last week as well. But I'm going to go the Doggies in that one. The Cowboys versus the Tigers. Need to get back on track for the finals now, the Cowboys, now that the Origin's over as well. So they had quite a few players playing in that. So I think they'll bounce back there, the Cowboys. Broncos, Eagles, Roosters, Raiders, Panthers, Rabbitohs, Dogs and Cowboys for me for round 19. Good luck.
Thanks, Trevor. Thank you to Dabble for allowing us that access. Podonis, give us any further reasons why you think the Rabbitohs could find four straight wins and deal Melbourne a fourth straight loss?
Yeah, not many times in recent memory, probably since I was back in high school, where I would have thought that Storm could lose four in a row. I definitely think that it's a live chance in this one. I do think South should be the favourite in this game. So I definitely think that it should be a flipped favourite. Not by much, because it's probably a 50-50 game, but I would favour the South. And that perception there from Gilmeister, and I've heard a few other people say it as well this week from other media pundits and the like, that they're tipping Storm just because the Storm can't lose four in a row, and they're buying to that narrative stuff. But you got to look at who the teams are at this point in the season. And it's funny to say, to sit here and say, 2 months ago after Origin 1, everyone was applauding Cameron Munster as the best player on the planet. And now I think that's flipped a little bit. And some people are talking about Latrell Mitchell and Joey Manu as being the two best players in the game at the moment. So I think Munster's still going to have a big part to say in this game, and I am scared of him. And if I'm being completely honest, I'm not willing to write off the Storm season, because I do respect how good their coaching staff is, but I just feel that heading into this game, they're a bit limited in what they can do. And as we touched on at the top of the show, that left side edge of South up against that right edge, which is depleted for the Storm, I just feel that that's a tremendous matchup advantage, and that's worthy of the plus half a try.
And, you know, your last few weeks, because the Storm have been coming into the games off a loss, and we keep waiting for that response. And then it gets followed by another poor result, which, in fairness, I don't think the Storm were that disappointing last week. I think had luck been a little different, they could have rolled the Raiders last week, but the game kind of turned on its head. Chances were missed. We talk all about this in the recap. And, of course, losing Papenhuyzen mid-game was brutal. Losing three in a row for the Storm, just the way the ladders are shaping up and the fact they're still in the top four, it's not fatal for their season. But the loss of Papenhuyzen might be for their premiership shot. And you talk about last time they lost four in a row and you being in high school. Like, I was looking back historically, like, genuinely Melbourne has been in contention every single season since 2010. 2010 was the salary cap sanctions year. The lowest finish since 2010 was a year they came sixth. And that was in 2014. And since then, they've made a prelim or better every season. So that's all the players in this squad have known. And now it's going to be really tough work to even get to a prelim where they sit, because I don't think they're that much better than all the sides around them. And it's going to really hurt. And how will they respond to losing Papenhuyzen? While Souths could have easily slipped up against Canterbury, and maybe we'd see them a little bit differently if they had. And in the recap, again, we talked about how Latrell literally put him on his back. But you love the fact that a team can get a win while resting some of their best players, because now when they return, you know that's going to lift them and boost them to another level. We talk about the mismatch and the kind of the outside backs there, and Johnston only needs a half chance and he finds the paint like no other. So I know Melbourne will know that's coming. It's one thing to know it's coming. It's another thing. It's another story to stop it. That's why we've got to play the Bunnies. And to get them plus half a try handicap is extra juicy as well, because even if it is a really tight one, that would still win in a really, you know, dead even finish. On Sunday, the Dogs host the Titans. The Titans are plus 4.5. Two teams that probably should have won last week, both had second half leads against higher opponents that were missing Origin stars, but both those sides let opportunities slip. The Dogs named the same side that lost to Souths, although Addo Carr's being monitored with an ankle injury. I think he's also recovering from the fend Latrell Mitchell put on him. Gold Coast gets back Jaden Campbell, who's been named on the bench. Booth at 9 and Clark at 13 really showed some improvement for that Titan side last week. But although now, because Tino was on the bench, he'll move to starting lock. I would have started Tino at prop and let Clark play 13. Maybe they still will. Just like I said before, Campbell's on the bench, but maybe he will play 1 and AJ to 6. We will see. I lean to the Titans, I will say, in this one, but honest, and you actually lent to the Bulldogs, so make the case.
Yeah, I do respect all those changes that the Titans are making, and you can definitely see Holbrook trying a few things, looking towards the future. And last week when Clark came on at lock, he did show some spark and life, and I agree with you. They were a team that should have won last week against the Broncos, but the same could be said for the Dogs as well when they hit the lead 28-22 with 15 minutes to go. And the only thing that stopped them winning was probably the former Latrell Mitchell. And I know that Addo Carr's out, But I think that under
Mick Potter, official? You're saying that or just likely?
From what I've been reading, I think it's likely. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, under Potter, since he's come in, I definitely feel that this side's got more attacking upside than what they've shown in past months and years. And their ability to score long range tries has improved dramatically. And I just trust them a bit more at this stage of the season, given that they are at home and they have been losing for so long as a club, that they don't want to keep around the bottom of the ladder there. Whereas with the Titans, they put in so much effort last week against the Broncos in what was a grand final for them, and the club and the whole book spoke about how important that was last week, that it might be a bit flat for them heading into this week. So I'm not sure how committed that they will be, especially when we saw 2 weeks ago when they played the Knights, they brought such a poor attitude. And if something similar happens this week, then I definitely would lay the -4.5. But I just feel that the line's probably a little bit too high on face value, given that both these teams have little to play for, that not much separates them. So you're going to have to really feel strongly about the Bulldogs if you do take them. I don't. I found enough reasons to just be fearful of the Titans. So from that point of view, I lean the Dogs, but I'd pass the game. But I know that you've seen it the opposite, Jacob.
It's funny because like this would be the shortest odds the Dogs have been all season too. So, of course, it's not a usual position for them where they're really expected to win. So it's hard to know how they're going to perform because they're not used to being in that position. I was very scathing of the Titans in the recap because I was frustrated with the way that they come out of that Brisbane game that was there for the taking if they'd been up to it, if they could execute. And all they wanted to do was talk about how great their effort was when they should have won that game. They shouldn't be satisfied with their effort. Nevertheless, on one hand, they could be flat. On the other hand, they could build on the fact that they actually had a focused prep and they put out a performance that for once was respectable, which not many of theirs have been this season. And you come into another game that is very winnable. Now, you could also say the Dogs could be a little bit down because they got blitzed at the end of their game against South. So to me, I just look at it as a toss-up and personnel-wise, pretty even, maybe even the edge with Jaden Campbell returning to the Titans. And that's why I would lean to, you know, the +4.5, maybe +2.5 first half. But it's hard to be very confident in them. And as well, if they couldn't find a way to beat Brisbane, you know, with half their side out last week, then why should we be so confident that they'll play very well this week? So I'm happy to leave it alone. We do have a best bet in the final game of the round, which is Cowboys-Tigers. The Tigers are +18.5. And it's our jersey comp game as well. So comment who you think will score the final try and minute as the tiebreaker, and you can win a jersey and be one of a bunch of people that have won this season and shared in all the cash and prizes that we've been fortunate enough to give away thanks to our sponsors, in this case, Top Sport. North Queensland's going to get back a bunch of Origin stars, Nanai Tuilagi, Dearden, Holmes. Tigers have recalled Peachy. Naden is back from suspension. No Faluma in the reserves. Take it away, Podonis. We like the Cowboys in this one. We've shared our best bet, but other factors for the match?
Yeah, I definitely agree that our second half play is the best way to attack this game. And we touched on it at the top of the show about the new spine combination that Kamali's introduced. I'm not a fan of it with Hastings at lock and this persistence with Brooks, because at this stage of the season, given where the Tigers are, what does he have to do to get a spell in reserve grade? Because he's been an average halfback for a long time. And I think that Dewey and Hastings should get a shot of being the 6 and 7 for them. And last week it didn't work against the depleted Panthers side. And they spoke about how disrespected they were and they were up for that game because they didn't feel that Panthers were taking the game seriously. And they still couldn't beat a side missing 7 players. So now they're going to have to go and verse the Cowboys away from home with their full side back, with the exception of Reuben Cotter. But they do have Luciano Leilua as well, in a bit of a revenge spot for him, given the way he did exit the Tigers. And it's a good team off a loss. And that's one thing that I wasn't going to say about the Cowboys at the start of the season. But I've definitely bought into what they've done this year. And I fully respect how good they are and how far they've come as a club. And I just feel that the Tigers are going to run out of steam and the Cowboys will be able to roll them late.
Man, we thought Cowboys were going to come last. And then opening game of the season, they lost at home to the Bulldogs. How are they now second on the ladder? That's crazy. And they lost last week. And they're still second on the ladder, but it was a very forgivable loss, as we said, for the reasons that they had a lot of troops out and it played a hot Sharks side. And most of those troops are back now. You mentioned Cotter still will be, and McLean still will be. And that's actually pushing Leilua to prop for this one. And that's a good point that he does face off against his former club. The Tigers, on face value, it's a respectable scoreline against Penrith. But when you consider that half of Penrith's side was out, it's quite a disappointing result, really, for West. And I think a lot has been spoken about Noddy's press conference and saying that the Panthers was a disrespectful move to rest those players. Obviously, he didn't mean to say that and he regretted it. And you just would not say that unless you've got the win. You have no business to question the decision-making of the Panthers, especially when you can't even come out and beat the side that you think was disrespectful named against you, because you let them come into your home ground and beat you. Now you've got to travel up to North Queensland and play another form side, the second on the ladder. And this side is brimming with confidence, not only what they've done this year, but like the rep form as well of a lot of these players, how confident they're all feeling. They're all coming in off an Origin series win. And you know what else? Like, everyone's playing for second on the ladder, right? And second is important because second gets you that home finals game in week one of the finals, the all-important one you want to win to get the week off, to then get the prelim in North Queensland as well. And, of course, avoid the side of the draw that Penrith is on and have a legitimate chance to make a grand final. So that's what the Cowboys are focused on, and there will be plenty of focus because they are coming off a loss. So this bet for me is not even about fading the Tigers too much. Jury's still out for me on that three-headed halves combination with Hastings at lock there. And I look at Laurie and Dewey and I think Tarmow, 300th game against the club he won a premiership for. They could come out with a bit of focus and intensity in this one. But you mentioned at the top the fitness of this Cowboys side, and that's another reason why we like the second half line. You can say that should be obvious, but this line's like 18.5, even as high as 20 in places, and we're laying kind of under 10 in a second half. So it's not really factored in. So therefore, we are getting an advantage if we believe they're fitter. I think they are fitter than Wes, clearly. I think they're fitter than anybody else. And we're going to leverage that into the mixed matchup as well, because if the Cowboys are covering that second half line, they could be running in a few tries. So we're just going to take North Queensland, which might be their debut in the mixed matchup. We're going to take North Queensland to outscore the Tigers. That's the easy part. And the Storm. So it's Tigers and Storm combined versus Cowboys, because they're both predicted to be right around 32 points. Another way of looking at it, Cowboys need to beat the Tigers by more than the total points that the Storm scores. And we know that we're missing Pappy and have issues with their outside backs. So that's $2.35 on TopSport for a max stake of $200. If you want a toppy account, use code TRIPOD. Let us know what you think of that. Let us know what you think of all of our bets or anything else that you like this weekend. Thank you for joining me to preview it all. Podonis will be back on Sunday for the recap. Good luck with your hunting, everybody. Always do it responsibly. And Lego.